20s can be a mess. I say so because we are too concerned with what it is that is about to come that we tend to forget what we have right now. And as we graduate, the possibilities of what we could be or what worth does this degree hold can become extremely immense. We try to search for a job that sustains us, not just pay our bills, but also satisfy our souls. But, my dear listeners, in the current rat race where one's worth is being determined by money, it takes guts to follow what we want. Science communication recently has taken a buzz around the internet as the new Gen Z type job. But honestly, let me ask you, how many of us know the marketplace? To talk about it, I have a special guest with me, Rose Gregorio. Rose Gregorio is a dynamic force in the realm of science communication, with a rich background spanning various sectors and continents. Currently serving as the Communication Dissemination and Exploitation Officer at Horizon Lab within EIT Urban Mobility in Barcelona, Spain, Rose is instrumental in leading communication efforts for the Batey Reverse Project, which is a cutting-edge initiative focused on sustainable mobility. With over 4 years of experience as Communication and Dissemination Coordinator at Barcelona Supercomputing Center, Rose has spearheaded communication strategies for numerous EU-funded projects. Her achievements include pioneering communication campaigns for women in science and organizing high-impact dissemination events such as international conferences and workshops. Rose's expertise, my dear listeners, it extends beyond academia. She also has worked as a freelance writer and marketing and communication coordinator at COST in Saudi Arabia, where she played a key role in enhancing the center's outreach through multimedia content and social media management. She's currently pursuing a master's degree in science communication and public engagement from University of Edinburgh, and she has a diploma in sub-editing and design from London School of Journalism. Rose combines her passion for science with her exceptional communication skills to bridge the gap between research and public. She embodies the essence of effective science communication, making complex concepts accessible and engaging to diverse audiences. This is a conversation you wouldn't want to miss. Lovely to have you, Rose. Thank you so much for coming after the blunder I made again. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your journey into SciComm, a bit about your background and how you ended up in your current role?
My journey to SciComm has not been straightforward. I did study communications in university. So I was in the Philippines back then. And then shortly after graduation, I moved to Taiwan. And I did not really have a job in communications. It was quite difficult to enter that particular sector in Taiwan for me. So I ended up teaching English, which I really liked. And I also had other side things, like I was a part-time business person. I imported olive oil from Spain into Taiwan and distributed it to supermarkets and such. So what changed was when my husband and I moved to Saudi Arabia. We were living in KAUST, which is the King Abdullah University of Science and Technology. Mm-hmm. It was a big university campus, and we could only find jobs at the university, basically. So that's what started my career in SciComm. So I applied to a research center there, and they hired me. So I started working in science communication there. And that was the first taste I got, and I really liked it. I felt like it was interesting. I enjoyed learning about different kinds of research being done. I enjoyed communicating it to audiences and, you know, trying to find ways to engage with audiences. So I think this was the first taste, and it got me quite passionate about science communication. And then we moved to Spain. And then I applied to the Barcelona Supercomputing Center. And it was a great experience. And that was my first taste of European-funded projects. So mm-hmm. a lot of research being conducted in Europe is funded by the European Commission under, when I started, it was H2020. It was the Research and Funding Program. But now it's Horizon Europe. So yeah, a lot of the research being conducted here is funded by currently Horizon Europe. And so I started working on a lot of these projects at the Barcelona Supercomputing Center. And I learned not only about communicating science, but also doing the admin work connected to being part of this program, because there's a lot of things to do. It's not just, crafting messages on social media
Exactly.
or website. I mean, you have to report things in a certain way. You have to use specific terms. I learned a lot about that. And then now I'm at EIT Urban Mobility, which is a European initiative that focuses on improving how people move in cities and creating safe and healthy living spaces for them. At EIT Urban Mobility, I am a communication, dissemination, and exploitation officer, and I'm involved with a really interesting project now called Batteryverse, which is very exciting for me because we are developing ways to improve the reverse logistics of electric vehicle batteries. In case you're not familiar with this, electric vehicle batteries start to lose their capacity or their full capacity. And maybe at, let's say, 8 to 10 years of use, they reach maybe 70 to 80% of their capacity. So at that point, the car owners usually change their batteries. And what happens to these batteries? We can't just throw them in the landfill, you know? So we are improving the way that they are being recycled or repurposed. We're hoping to contribute greatly to the circular economy through
That
this
sounds
project.
amazing. And you must be filled with so much passion now for science communication, given that you changed your trajectory. And also, Rose, you're managing doing a master's degree. I just finished my master's degree and I cannot tell you how hectic it is, specifically to do a master's degree. How are you managing these both things? And you are doing master's from University of Edinburgh, which is like one of the best institutions for science communication. They have this degree of master's in SciComm. How did you why would you do a master's firstly? And secondly, what is the best part about doing this degree for you currently?
First of all, I had been working in science communication for a few years at that point, and even though I understood the practice, what messages might be interesting or what people would respond to, I wanted to learn more of, the theory and the studies behind these actions. I wanted to understand why people were doing this, why this is important, and I felt like a master's degree would help me. I applied to the University of Edinburgh because it kind of matched my schedule. I mean, it was online. I have two kids, so it's not easy to travel anywhere for studies. So I chose this master's, and it's very, very good. I learned a lot. And just so you know, it's part-time. I'm not doing this full-time, so it's been 3 years.
Still
I
long.
guess when you did your master's, it was 1 year,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, so this has been going on for 3 years for me, so it's just really long.
But still, like managing something, being an officer and managing a science communication degree on the other hand, which is, requires a lot of passion. So I am really, really happy for you that you got enrolled into this. Did you face any backlash, Rose, for choosing a profession like science communication? Because this is a pretty unconventional thing when you come to think of it. If you go to explain on to people that, I'm a science communicator, they just think that it's pretty dumb, like we just dumb down research for people. What did you face any backlash firstly, and secondly, did you have to explain to other people what your position is because they had absolutely no idea what you're doing?
Backlash, no. I could imagine that this would happen to people who maybe studied science and wanted to change their career into science communication, but I studied communication in the first place, and I think it's a natural progression. Like when you study communications, you go into different fields of communication, and this is how I ended up doing science communication. For the people facing backlash, I can imagine, but it is, not everybody wants to pursue a career in science. Just because you studied that doesn't mean you're going to be a scientist, because, we also need, in science communication, we also need experts in different subjects who can find the most effective ways to craft messages for target audiences. So my background is in communication, but maybe somebody with a science degree in specific degrees could find different ways to communicate science. So I feel like it's not a bad career. In fact, it could be a very good career, especially in Europe where I am. And it could even be potentially a very high paid career, depending on where you end up.
Yeah, I understand that. So do you, you said previously that you are leading amazing funded projects, and you have led multiple funded projects, EU funded projects. And so do you have any heartfelt memories from these projects, something that, you carry on with you? You met somebody visionary in the field and you were like, yeah, this is something that, makes me want to do this every day.
I have met very important people in the field. But I think I work mostly with scientists, so I wouldn't say like I'm very inspired by science communicators everywhere. But what I see is that when people work very professionally, work very hard, then it makes me want to improve my skills as well. So I've met not only scientists, but also support staff or other communication people or exploitation people who have done very well, and it makes me want to improve as well.
So you any heartfelt memory that you have from these projects that you want to share with the listeners right now? Anything?
So I was involved in a particular project called Cheese. It's a funny name, but it was focused on solid earth, improving simulations for solid earth. And it was, I made, friends there. I was very close to a lot of the partners there, and especially the coordinator, which I consider one of the best researchers I've ever met. And maybe if he sees this, he'll be surprised. I had good memories because we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of things. I helped organize a conference that brought in around 100 people. It was a good experience. And another good experience I had was when I was part of another project called COE Raise. And at one of our project meetings, we got to visit CERN in Switzerland.
Damn.
So for me, that was an amazing experience. So I think that's the other side of doing science communications within these European projects, is that you get to meet a lot of people, you get to travel to different places, you get to learn lots of different things. So that for me is very memorable and really great.
And keeps rewarding you. So you just want to be in the field, right? So Rose, for a science communication enthusiast, I wanted to ask you this. What do you think we should be doing and we should not be doing for somebody who is just starting in the field? And since you said that, you shifted gears from a bachelor's in communication to now being an officer for a EU-funded project. So what are your do's and don'ts? And this is one of my friend's questions, since this is a pretty unconventional pathway, especially for a woman who's in STEM. How do we find positions that are inclusive for everyone?
Do's and don'ts. Do you mean in when looking for a job or in the practice of being a psychom
In the practice of being
person?
a psychom person.
So do's. Make sure that when you're crafting your messages, you know who your target audience is. There's something that I learned in my master's is there is no such thing as a general public because there are very different kinds of publics and you have to identify them. So there is no one message that can reach every single person. So you basically have to know your audience and make sure to tailor your message to them. So that's a do. And I think another do is don't afraid to make mistakes. A lot of the times when we're putting content out there, it's trial and error. We want to see what people will engage with or what people will like or what will bring more audiences. Sometimes we make mistakes, but you shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes. I think it is important to have a manager or a boss or a company that encourages you to try new things in order to improve. So yeah, don't be afraid to make mistakes. And don't be unprofessional. So SICOM is not like a less important job. So people also expect you to be professional, to be reliable. If you say you'll do something and you don't, or if you say you'll, I don't know, submit something by a deadline and you don't, then this reflects badly on you and your career as a science communicator. Another don't. I don't know. Don't forget to, make sure to establish relationships as well with the people that you work with. If you maybe are working with scientists and you need information from them, if you don't have a good relationship with them, they might not give you what you need. Just establish good relationships, work professionally.
And Rose, thank you so much for answering these questions. This is not my question, that do you have any do you want to tell people about the scope of science communication, specifically with the advent of AI, which is coming up? Because now people are just like, you can just, we don't need science communicators anymore because AI can write anything for anybody, for a seventh grader, for an eighth grader, or any target audience. So what do you think? Where do you see science communication in 10 years, specifically with the advent of AI and how it's integrating with every job market that is in picture? But will science communication be affected? And if so, how much?
No, I don't think that science communication will be negatively affected by AI. AI gets its information from what is readily available on the internet, and there could also be misinformation that is on the internet. And if you type a prompt to say, okay, I want to learn more about, I don't know, some specific topics like GMOs or something, it might give you information that might not be completely accurate. It might even include some misinformation there. So you need a person to check everything. I think AI can be used as a tool to help the work. Sometimes, it's hard to think of a nice way to say something, and AI can help you with that. But AI will never replace people. But we should, at the same time, we should never be afraid of AI, because AI is a tool to help us. It is not something that will take our jobs, I believe.
So in 10 years, where do you see AI specifically in context of, let's say, science writing or science journalism? Let's just say that. Like, do you think that science journalists will be using AI a lot as a tool, like you said, or will it, again, I'm asking the same question, will it replace them?
Never. AI will never replace people. So I think that, yeah, AI will be used to probably write some articles, maybe write some copy, interesting copy. But there has to be a person that makes sure that all the things are accurate. And also, I've used ChatGPT, and sometimes the wording could be a bit strange, you know. So you have to have a real person there making sure that all the information is correct. And also, maybe, you know, in 10 years when AI is more widely used, I don't know, maybe people will feel that they need to trust real people more, you know, because with AI, you don't know if anything's real anymore. It's not only for text, but for pictures, for videos, you know, you don't know who to trust, you don't know what's real. And maybe that's the time when a real person is more important, when people can connect a certain article or website to a real person, then they would trust the content more.
Yeah, I completely agree with your point. So Rose, do you have any ending, on this ending note, do you have anything to say about finding jobs specifically for people who are interested in science communication, since you got such a wonderful job? If people who are internationally on the market, they want to look for science communication job, how should one go about it?
So I would say it is difficult to find a job when you go to a new country. It is difficult. But if you have the experience, then that helps you a lot. So I guess if you don't have much experience, then maybe you can start with an internship and work your way up. I guess that's the easiest way. As for me, maybe I was lucky. I got my first job in science communication in Saudi Arabia. I guess I was the most qualified candidate, even though I didn't really have much experience in science communication. At least in Europe, maybe around the world, but at least in Europe, what I've seen is that science communication professionals are highly sought. So if you have the experience, it is not very difficult to find a job in this field. And well, you also have to speak English, so this is very important. Your English has to be very good. I'm in Spain specifically. Sometimes they might ask for Spanish speakers, but in the context of European funded projects, that's not completely necessary, at least in my experience. So yeah, I would say just try to gain experience. And once you have that experience, it will be easier. And experience could be internships, or it could be, you know, experience that you've created, or you've sought after on your own. So for example, you know, I don't know, doing volunteer jobs, doing volunteer science communication jobs, or writing articles for different websites or publications, that could also help. So I would say build your experience.
That is amazing. Thank you so much, Rose, for talking about all these things. One last question again. One of my friends wanted to ask you, how's the job market like? Is it friendly? Is it competitive? Is it something that, you know, we need to work on a lot to, you know, gain friends?
I would say it is very competitive.
Okay.
But I only have the experience of in Europe. It's only in Spain. I've only worked in Spain. But I would say it is very competitive, but not a lot of people do SciComm. So a lot of people do marketing, comms, and there are lots of jobs for that, but SciComm, not really. So I think there is an advantage you have if you are focused specifically on SciComm, because not everybody knows how to do this. A comms professional, might not know, or might not even be interested in science communication. So I think that it is more niche, and it is probably easier to find a job if you are, you know, experienced. So like I said, you have to build your experience and make sure that you you've been working on it, you've been doing things. And so when you apply for jobs, then you will have a higher chance of success.
And the marketplace is friendly. So you've made a lot of friends is what, you know, I was asking, like, do you think like it's a field that will keep growing and keep blossoming in the future as well, right?
Definitely. I think so. In Europe, I've been working on European funded projects. And I believe that the European Commission believes that it's very important to push science forward and to push impact forward. And for as long as the European Commission believes that, we will always have jobs because science communication, dissemination, and exploitation, basically, you know, extending the impact of research is embedded into these programs. So they will always need science communicators for these projects. And for as long as Europe believes in pushing research and innovation forward, I believe that we will have jobs. And I believe that Europe will continue to believe this, of course.
And I think the whole world will. Thank you so much, Rose, for coming and speaking about these issues. And of course, like answering these questions, I mean, haphazardly, my friends had put up these questions a day before. And it was lovely talking to you. Thank you.
I hope that I was able to answer the questions well.
You did. It was amazing talking to you as well. Thank you for coming and thank you for speaking.
Thanks. Bye.
Life does not have to be a single pathway. Thousand things can go wrong, but at the end, eventually, you know that it's going to be okay. You have to experiment to put yourself out there and see for yourself what world is like. To be in your 20s and to be in the job market out is something that is very, very troublesome. But I hope conversations like this can help more people to apply for positions that exist, that they didn't know about, and that can sustain them spiritually, mentally, socially, and also can make them wealthy. Thank you so much, Rose, for coming and speaking about the job market situation in science communication and how the funding is in Europe. I hope more people are interested in applying for positions like this and we get more and more people in the realm of science communication to bridge the gap between academia and general public. And to you, my dear listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this conversation helped you in some way or the other, and that tomorrow brings a better day for you. I'll see you soon in the next episode. Till then, take care. Bye.